only show that proudly puts together a fantasy tennis team. Here's Carpenter and Rothman.
All right, we're back at it. Carpenter and Rothman, Anthony Rothman, Bobby Carpenter. And we welcome to the program ESPN college basketball analyst Seth Greenberg is with us. Good to have you, Coach.
How you guys doing? What's going on? You guys
we're
hanging
doing,
in there?
Yeah, we're hanging in there. How about yourself? Everybody good in your world?
Yeah, my family's good. That's the most important thing. You're right.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, we're having you on today, and it's kind of a sad moment. This was supposed to be the second day of the tournament and all that. And I know that, you know, the bracket was never seeded, not that it needed to be. And, you know, once the Ivy League pulled ripcord on their tourney, that was kind of weird because there were no results. And you know what, Seth, at that point in time, and Bobby and I were on the air at that time, we thought, okay, wow, that's the strong move, right? Couldn't you have just played it without fans and just to get the results in case we got this calmed down? But look at that. They were way ahead of it, and we've lost the tournament now. When you think about the teams, and I know you don't have brackets to look at, but did you have kind of a sense that this tournament was going to be as wide open as anything we've ever seen? Or do you still think that you had four in your mind that you thought could rise?
I think it was going to be more wide open. When I say wide open, you know, we always have upsets. I thought there would have been more, especially in seeding the field. See, I think the hardest thing, selecting the field would have been one thing. I don't think anyone would have had a complaint, you know, last four in, last four out, because, quite honestly, no one, when you got to the bottom, no one really had that great a season. But in terms of seeding it, anyone that was selected at the end, especially anyone that, you know, of a quote-unquote Power 5 conference type, had a chance to win multiple games. That's just the way it is. So, you know, I thought Kansas, at the beginning of the year, at the end of the year, I thought they were the most talented team in college basketball. I thought Michigan State was playing at a very, very high level at the end of the season. Rocket Watts emerged. All of a sudden, Malik Hall emerged. Aaron Henry started to become a lockdown defender, a rebounder, a guy who could give some scoring. Cassius was playing with more joy. I thought they were separating themselves. I thought Dayton was very good. They were very good. They were more than Obi Toppin. They were a very good team. They shared the ball. They had other, you know, Crutcher could step up. Chapman was a terrific defender. Trey Landers was very, very good. Gonzaga, to me, was a team that separated themselves during the course of the season. We forget the Gonzaga win at Washington, two guys in the lottery. Gonzaga win in Arizona, even though they were young teams. Gonzaga beating Oregon. Gonzaga beating North Carolina. They were for real. But after that, there were good teams. There were really good teams. Maryland, you know, intrigued the nation for a while. Baylor, because of the way they defend and their physicality and their experience, was a team that people were excited about. But there were also other teams that could have won games and could have made deep runs in the tournament.
And so as you look at that, Seth, and you try to figure that out, and this is kind of the year where you said, like, there was no great teams. You kind of had Kansas and Baylor, one of the traditional powers up there, and then Baylor, a Power 5 school. But you had San Diego State. You had Gonzaga, who has emerged as, you know, obviously a great school from a smaller conference, but it's consistently there. And you had school like Dayton. How tough is it for you being a coach and, you know, walking in the locker room, or now I guess texting or Skyping, whoever knows how you're going to communicate with a school like Dayton, to where they could have been a one or a two seed, and that's not something that comes around every two or three years. It doesn't come. That's a generational opportunity for a school like that. And looking at those guys and saying, you know, we had a chance, but just due to circumstances, we're not going to be able to see how good we could be.
Yeah, it's a really hard thing. I'm actually talking to a lot of my coaching friends the last week and a half. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on right now. Obviously, for Dayton's situation, I mean, you had this magical season. In a lot of ways, the highlight of the season, besides all the success they had in the court, was that they had that game day. And I actually talked to a parent of a student at Dayton and said to the Dayton community and the Dayton student body, game day ended up, obviously they wanted the NCAA tournament to end up being that, but that basically game day ended up their NCAA tournament. To be on that stage, to be the focus of college basketball for that hour, to, you know, introduce people to Obi Toppin and the job that Anthony Grant has done. But those conversations with the team are really hard. Steve Forbes is a dear friend of coach at East Tennessee. They were a team that had a chance to win a game in the tournament. And, you know, they had a magical, magical season. And to have to tell your team and not experience Selection Sunday, to be as a group, to be together, to see that logo come up, to have all these talking heads talking about your team is hard. But I agree with the NCAA in terms of not putting out a bracket, because there were 12 automatic qualifiers crowned. There were 22 still be crowned. It wouldn't have been fair to the teams that were still competing to have a chance to be one of those automatic qualifiers.
Seth Greenberg with us, ESPN college basketball analyst. He's on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Rick Pitino is back. He got the job. A lot of people wouldn't even know Iona. If you gave him a map, they probably wouldn't be able to pick it out. I don't think any of us are surprised he wanted to coach again. He said he's wanted to coach again. Are you surprised that he didn't wait longer to see if the dust settled and a bigger school would be able to defend the hire than jumping in right now and taking this job at Iona?
I'm not overly surprised, because I really think a Power 5 school would have had a hard time in the climate of college basketball today, would have had a hard time hiring him, just the way it is with, think about this movie coming out. The NCAA still hasn't sent their letter of allegations to Louisville. You've got Kansas, who still is, maybe I guess they've gotten their letter of allegations. Yeah, NC State's gotten their letter of allegations. So this thing isn't over. So a Power 5 school wasn't going to take a chance. But more importantly, I look at fit. Rick Pitino's a New York guy. The president of the university was at Transylvania when he was at Kentucky. So there was a familiarity with him. He knew the AD, and plus he knows some very, very big Iona boosters. People don't understand. Iona is really tied into Wall Street. Iona has a very good business school that is very, very closely filled to Wall Street. So the crowd that Rick Pitino ran with, in a lot of ways, is a little bit of an Iona, St. John's, New York City, Wall Street crowd. So he had a lot of support there. And he's from there. He's got a home. He's got a brownstone in Manhattan. I think it was a good fit. It had a little bit of a Providence feel to it. He will change, obviously, the identity of that program, even though Coach Tim Clouse did a great job. Every fifth-year transfer, if the transfer rule passes in May, or the guideline, I should say, passes, where kids can transfer and be eligible immediately, I think he'll have an entree into all those kids. And he will build a really good program. They'll be playing in Madison Square Garden. They'll play a national schedule. And I think he'll do an incredible job. Look, he's one of the great coaches in the history of our game. And I thought, having an opportunity, because I'm not sure there would have been many of them, and having an opportunity where he was a fit, I think it was just the right place, the right time.
Do you think that's his last coaching stop, son?
Yeah, I think. I read the article. He said only Rick could put it this way. And I've known Rick since I'm 14 years old. We used to play in the same parks, and he's a good friend of my brother's when we were younger. And then, obviously, through coaching, we grew up in a 5-star camp and things of that nature. Yeah, he says that, Fort Knox, he'd have to go to Fort Knox to deal with his buyout. Yeah, I think the only place he would go out of there is if he had an NBA buyout, an opportunity to go to the NBA. I think, he wants to lead this profession on his terms, and I think that this is probably a good fit where he'll be able to accomplish great things and create a program within his image. And hey, if I always play the matter, you got people forget now, Jimmy V. I own a college. You're a little young to own a college. They're in the top five. They're playing Louisville, Madison Square Garden, packed house of Iona fans, playing on CBS, playing national TV games. Rick Pitino will be able to bring that to Iona and to college basketball.
Yeah, that's right. He will. And they'll have to kind of tightrope a little bit with it, but maybe with this time that the whole thing has happened with college basketball getting shut down, that – this was probably maybe the best time for him to jump back in. All right, Seth, we want you to be well, and we hope you and yours be safe, and we beat this very fast, and we're back talking about games very soon. Thanks for making time for us.
You got it. Thanks so much, and take care of yourselves, please. Take care of your families.
You too. Seth Greenberg, ESPN college basketball analyst. He was on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. When we come back, a little more on Pitino and whether or not anyone could have stepped out to hire him. And then DJ Carton, we talked about it yesterday, transferring from Ohio State, where we don't know, but he has spoken. We'll tell you what he had to say next. Carpenter and Rothman on The Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.